Tape script 2.3. World Traveller and Lavender Farmer. Part 1. Childhood.
First of all, tell me what your earliest memory is.
Of course, I was born just before the First World War, and my earliest memory, I think, is my third birthday party. Everything was very short, but I did have a birthday cake, and all the lights were out, and I was told to go into the room first, and there was this beautiful cake with the candles on it.
When you were small, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, I thought perhaps I would be one of the first people ever to fly the Atlantic. It didn't quite work out like that. After a time, I became rather an indifferent glider pilot, which wasn't quite the Atlantic.
And what did you actually expect would be the story of your life? What did you expect to be when you grew up?
I have no idea. I couldn't believe that I'd end up as a lavender farmer in Shropshire. Certainly not that. I did think I might be an MP, but in the end, I was a librarian in Wolverhampton. Again, not quite Westminster.
You lived abroad for a while when you were young, in Paris and in Dresden. What are your most vivid memories of those two cities?
In Paris, I heard Boris Godunov sung by Chaliapin, and that is something that's always lived in my memory. And in Dresden, I went to every single Wagner opera in the order he wrote them.
Were you there to learn French and German?
I was. I learned many other things, not too much French or German. A bit.
Part 2. The War Years.
You were in Germany before the Second World War began. Are there memories of the seriousness of the political situation developing?
Well, I was young, so I didn't really take it in, but there were days when we were not allowed to go out because there were these torchlight processions and the Jews' shop windows were broken. And one knew it was serious, but certainly I didn't realise how serious.
During the Second World War, you were involved in political warfare, sending misinformation to the enemy. And then after the war, you worked in London in naval intelligence. You must have had to keep completely secret the work that you were doing. It must have been years before you were able to tell anybody about the work you did during the war.
We did have to take an oath of secrecy. But I think that one of the tiresome things that happened from that was that when I wrote to my husband, who was, I said, was away for 4 years, I wasn't allowed to say where I worked, who I worked with, or what I did. And after 3 or 4 years, it gets quite difficult to write letters without saying these things.
Part 3. The best is yet to come.
How long have you lived in this lovely house in Shropshire with its magnificent gardens?
We came here in 1953. And we didn't really mean to come to a house as big as this, but we saw the garden one night by moonlight, and the moon was coming up behind this beautiful cedar tree, and we said we really must have the cedar tree, never mind the house.
And how do you fill your time here?
Very well. I'm very busy. I have 5 acres of garden, 4 acres of lavender, 20 hives of bees, 8 grandchildren, 1 step-grandchild. Really, time goes quite fast.
You've travelled a great deal during the course of your life. Where in the world have you most enjoyed visiting?
Well, I've enjoyed going almost everywhere, but I think that Machu Picchu, the lost city of the Incas, is something quite special. It's quite a spiritual place. It was their holy place. And then, of course, you go to the Grand Canyon. I went there, quite modern there, I went in a helicopter along the edge of the Grand Canyon, and that's magnificent too. India, China, the Great Wall. You say there are so many places. Madagascar, with their incredible lemurs and the animals that are being driven to extinction. Each place has its charm, and I'm hoping to see lots more.
I was going to ask you whether you have plans to make more journeys. Are there places in particular that you know you want to visit as soon as you can?
Well, I haven't been to Egypt, which is a terrible miss, and I always want to go back to Jerusalem, which has, I've been there two or three times, and I don't know why, I find it a most compelling city. I don't think it's changed. It's still violent and cruel and divided and beautiful, and you meet a camel where you least expect it round the corner, and the little streets are the same, and you feel you could see Jesus of Nazareth there still today. I think I also like to look forward too. I'm just as interested in the future as I am in the past, and what I really want is for us to find life in outer space before I die. I should like that.
Your work here fills up almost all of your time.
All of my time.
All of your time, not almost all of
it. Rather more than my time.
But do you sometimes manage to fit in other activities? For example, is it correct that you enjoy water skiing?
I think I enjoy water skiing, but it's always anxious because I'm never quite sure if I'll get up. But I do enjoy it, and once up, I think it's great, brilliant.
Does it ever occur to you that it's an unusual pastime for a lady in her 80s to be going water skiing?
Well, I never really had thought of it like that. I think if you do something, you just go on doing it as long as you can and hope that nothing dreadful happens to stop you.
You mentioned that you're a glider pilot. Do you still get the chance to fly?
I don't ever go alone anymore. I go up with somebody else in a two-seater. But when I started to learn before the war, there were no two-seaters. You always had to go alone.
As you look back on a very rich, colourful, interesting life, which seems to you to have been the best part? Which was your golden age?
Well, I don't know that there is a golden age. I look forward with just as much pleasure as I look back. I've got lovely things to look back on, but I hope I've got lovely things to look forward to.